Christmas party song.
Yeah, but
we
thought we'd dedicate that to Governor Roland, who some people think had resigned. Duh! I mean, I just want to put this in some context because it actually does touch upon our show. Yesterday, this very nice young lady, she was 16 years old, for some reason or another, listening to talk radio. She calls up, I don't know, I think it's the 5 o'clock hour, and says, is it true that Governor Roland has resigned? Well, I had a little moment of panic because sometimes, like, you know, in that last hour, I mean, you know, we're kind of dealing with a sports thing, and I'm looking up stuff, and I don't always listen to the 5 o'clock news or the 5:30 news, because we use that time to do stuff, or to yell at Bobby, or complain to Janine about something, or, you know, talk to each other about how long the traffic reports are going and stuff like that. I mean, we use that for important things that we have to do.
Screaming, yelling.
So I don't always listen to the news. So I'm thinking, what if it's true? What if we just aired the report that Roland had resigned, you know, and I didn't hear it? But then I thought, no, because Dana would come in here. If Roland resigned, Dana would be in here on our faces in a flash. So that's not what happened. So I said to her, look, that didn't happen. She said, well, it was on TV. And I said, I'm sure you're mistaken. And then I constructed some elaborate explanation for what she probably heard or saw or whatever. Because she's 16 years old, so obviously, what the hell does she know, right? Well, I just wonder, if you're out there, you're probably not listening at this time of day anyway, if you listen during the 5 o'clock hour, whoever you are, I'm sorry, because you did see that on stupid WFS, stupid B, Land of the Stupid 3, because they are a bunch of lazy, I mean, first of all, I mean, apparently...
Aren't we animated today?
Are you aware
of that? With our little Don Johnson suit on.
Yeah, I do. I am dressed up as Don Johnson today. And the reason that I'm dressed up as Don Johnson is because there's this little Back to the 80s party at... Flashback to the 80s party at the Athenaeum. Joey and I are thinking maybe going over there tonight. But I thought maybe I should be dressed as a 1980s person. And the person I most closely resemble anyway is Don Johnson. Except for the part about having a big, you know what. But,
yeah.
So anyway, I am dressed up kind of as Sonny Crockett, really. You know, I'm in my Sonny Crockett. Well, do you know, are you aware of what Channel 3's explanation for this is?
No, I'm not.
Those freaking, they had, okay, there's this thing called CG, character generation. So, their character, they had somebody type in Roland resigns into the character generation for the moment that it happened, so they'd be able to get it on the air real fast.
Right.
And then somebody had put it on the air last night. Well,
totally
first of all,
by mistake.
Yeah, by mistake. Because it was like the next thing in the alphabet. After God knows what. After, you know, rolling around with Al or something. First of all, I mean, don't do that. Don't be in such a rush to get Roland resigned on the air that you...
How long did it take to type that in?
I was going to say, it's like, how many letters is that? What, you couldn't have somebody just do that when it happens? You couldn't know. Well, anyway, so that's stupid. That's really stupid. It's irresponsible. You know, I mean, I'm out of patience with stuff like that. Like, you know, Arnold was in here yesterday or the day before talking about this Tampa newspaper where they ran the wrong editorial. The editorial that said that the Tampa Bay, whatever they are, the Tampa Bay Lightning, we shouldn't be playing hockey here anyways, had lost when in fact they'd won. Well, I mean, that's irresponsible too. You know what? Stay at the newspaper until the game is over. Then write your editorial. You can rough it out beforehand and then file it. Don't write two of them and then tell some dink down there in the press room to pick the one. You know, come on. this kind of stuff is really going to stop. It's irresponsible. And, I mean, this is, it's a small thing to be putting Roland resigned, but, you know, I mean, it's an easily correctable thing, but it's way stupid.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we have that straightened out.
Not to say we're not going to do anything way stupid here today. We probably will.
Well, every day.
Also, I have to attack Roy Ojo Grosso, but only for the purpose of amusing myself. But should we talk to Elizabeth? She may have actually seen this great moment in journalism.
All right, Elizabeth.
Unfortunately, Denise DiCenzo had almost a meltdown, and if you know how cool she is on the air...
She's actually a computer program. You know, there is no actual person such as Denise DiCenzo. They actually add her digitally to the
Isn't
broadcast.
Isn't she married to some big basketball player?
Yes, I believe... Know? I'm not sure they're still married. At one point, she was married, I think, to Kevin McHale. I'm not 100% sure.
No, she's married to a businessman down in Brantford, Connecticut.
Well, good for you, Elizabeth.
Just say how prepared WFSB is in advance...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was a graphic they wanted for the Reagan funeral, preparation.
Yeah.
And she came back and she said, I'm sorry or something, we put up the wrong graphic, and then the right graphic went up.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got it in advance, and as a columnist for a newspaper in town, they write obituaries for people in advance all the time.
Yes, that's absolutely true. So that when Katharine Hepburn dies, you want to have the obituary completely...
You want to have it ready to roll, and when someone is going to resign, or hopefully... You know, leave us for whatever purposes. Let's be prepared, and I think they were.
No, I mean, I think there's a meaningful difference between those two things. The Katharine Hepburn obituary is going to take a long time to put together, and to do an adequate job of it, to do a full-blown adequate job of Katharine Hepburn or whoever, you know, you try to do it well, you try to have the quotes, you know, get the quotes in advance, you try to, you know, have all the movie credits already. So yes, when that day comes, you can get the thing done and do a full-blown good job, a job that the person in question deserves. You know, when Pope John Paul II dies, you know, they've all got their obits ready that really sort of take note of the full breadth and scope of his career. Now, that has to do with doing a good job. This has to do with being first. You know, typing...
Colin, could I just interrupt 1 minute? Whether you're trying to tie in obituaries and things like that, it's similar, but not the same. Right now, we're in the throes of summer help.
Yeah.
And they've colleges have mostly
closed their mother or
graduations. You're dealing with young people that are interns or whatever you want to call them.
But Elizabeth. You're the one who brought up prepared obituaries, and
obituaries, but we don't want to have quotes and things. All they have to do is say McEnroe dies or something like that.
No, you're not even listening. All right, the distinction is the reason you have a pre-prepared obituary for somebody you know is probably going to die in the next 5 years is because you want to do a good job, have a full polish it up, have a full blown, well worked out, beautifully written obituary that fits the person who has just died. So you do it, you do some of that work in advance. The reason that you type, 12 letters into a character generator is because you want to beat the other station. That's the only reason to do it.
And they are beating the other station.
Yeah, they sure beat them this time.
I think they're ahead of Channel 8 and Channel 30 as far as viewership.
Oh, yeah, but no, I'm not talking about beating them on viewership. I'm saying you're just trying to get something on the air faster than anybody else does. You are Denise DiCenzo's mother or something, aren't you?
Pardon.
Well, you're...
She lives in Maryland.
You're you know all about this.
I have met Denise in person, yes.
Yeah. See, I think what we're talking about are two different things. One of them has to do with doing a well-crafted job, and the other one has to do with the sort of, we got it on the air first. I just think those are two different things.
I think it was an honest mistake.
Of course it was an honest mistake, but, the fact that they even bothered to do it that way, that they typed 12 or 15 or whatever it is letters into a character generator before the thing actually happened, the only reason they had it spring-loaded was they wanted to be first. They wanted to beat everybody else. Yes, they are. They're piranhas.
Piranhas, not piranhas.
Oh,
Don't be funny with your 7-second delay.
I didn't even hear what you actually said. What were you saying instead of piranhas? Oh, she's really... She's got to be somebody's mother. She's got to be somebody's mother at Channel 3.
You seem to do well with Well, never mind.
Right, just because I told that lady that bad thing yesterday. It's because I said a bad thing to Teresa Pelham's mother. Is that what you're bringing up? Is that what you're hitting me with now?
No, it's just that particular, I don't know, age group.
You know what I'm in touch with these days?
You seem to just, well.
You know what I've got going on inside me right now?
God only knows.
My motto for the day is WWJSD. What would Johnny Sack do? And so I'm trying to handle things on a Johnny Sack basis. We'll explain more when we get back.
Hi, it's Ray Dunaway.
I'm Diane Smith.
All right, coming up on
What Does That Mean?
I'll explain that in just a second. I want to say, and this will sort of deal with Fred's thing, he's calling up, that Bruce explained to me that what Elizabeth or whatever anyone was saying was paratus. I actually did think she was saying paratus, which I think completely describes everybody who works in television news, but paratus would be the Latin word for prepared. Semper paratus would be the Coast Guard motto, always prepared. And the song is, Semper Paratus is our guide. Da, 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 forget the words. To fight and save or fight and die. The Coast Guard, we are for you. It's almost as good as Teresa Pelham's Planet song, but not quite.
Almost.
Yeah. If it had the word Uranus in it, it would be almost as good.
Yeah.
See, that works all that out. Yeah, well, like, for example, today, okay, I pick up the New York Times, start reading the roll-in coverage in the New York Times. What do I see? I see something funny that I have said attributed to Roy Occhio Grosso. Now, I know Roy Occhio Grosso very well, and he actually, as distinct from someone like, say, me or Bill Curry, Roy Occhio Grosso has a sort of a conscience. I mean, for a political consultant, he has a highly developed conscience. So I know what happened with Roy. I mean, I knew immediately what had happened with Roy, which is that Roy had talked to the New York Times reporter, had attributed this thing to me. It's the whole thing about how Roland's old model for impeachment was Bill Clinton, his new model for surviving impeachment is David Koresh. That he'd attributed to me, but the stupid New York Times reporter, because it's just too complicated to, you know, attribute something twice or something like that, had just blown past that and attributed it to Roy. But I also knew that Roy is high-strung, and it would be fun to get him all upset. So I said to the email saying, you have to die for ripping me off in the New York Times. At which point I got like these, you know, 18 emails back from Roy saying, oh my God, no, I did attribute this to you. Here's the guy's phone number. You can call him. You can ask him. You know, here's the New York Times reporter's phone number. You can call him. You can ask him. Make sure I really did. He's sending me like this vast paper trail of stuff about this. So I sent him a message back. I said, I'm sorry, but I'm in touch with my inner Johnny Sack. You know, and what would Johnny Sack say about a situation like this? Even if you did behave honorably, even if you did do the right thing, even if you did attribute that material to me, the only people who will know that are you and me and maybe the New York Times reporter. And I'll come across as someone who can be stolen from with impunity. So that if I allow this to stand, freaking Mark Davis is going to be on Channel 8 tonight using my material. So I have no choice but to strike back. I have to be in touch with my inner Johnny Sack. I have to say, what would Johnny do?
Mm-hmm.
What would Johnny Sack do in a situation
like that? I think you make a good point.
Yeah. And I think, and I urge everybody out there, I mean, unfortunately, most people who listen to talk radio are too much are in way too much touch with their inner Johnny Sack. As a matter of fact, that's the only voice they're hearing right now, is their inner Johnny Sack. Most of you need to be more in touch with, like, you're in a Buddha, for example, or Jesus. People like that, you should be listening to your inner Jesus or your inner Buddha, not your inner Johnny Sack. But there are a few people, you know, who need to sort of develop their inner Johnny Sack a little bit more. People if you find in general that people are using you as a doormat, you have to sort of say, what would Johnny do?
Mm.
What would Johnny do in this situation?
That's good advice.
Yeah. And then go to war if you have to.
Yeah.
And then understand that the FBI will probably come and arrest you.
Not exactly the outcome we were looking for, but...
Not necessarily. So how are you anyway?
I'm lovely, but we have to go.
Oh, okay.
When you run a small business,
Bruce and Colin shall return.
T.S. Eliot's Wasteland at the Big E. Well, I like the Big E. I enjoy the sheep and I enjoy the ride.
No, you don't.
And I do. I have voluntarily.
You used to tear the Big E.
Well, I didn't like doing shows from the Big E. I never enjoyed that. But I would
hell
actually.
Hell with sheep, I believe, was the way I did
unfortunately refer to the Big E as hell with sheep.
One of the most touching moments I've ever seen in my entire life. happened at the Big E the last time I was there, last time we were broadcasting there, when our fine governor strolled in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a love fest.
We had a little warm. We had one of our rare warm exchanges.
It was incredible. I thought I was going to be breaking a tear while watching this.
I'm starting to think the next time we have a warm exchange, it's going to be on phones and there's going to be a pane of glass between the two of us. But
that may be.
I'm pretty comfortable.
I have something to tell you about, Mr. Bruce Stevens, that I think is going to make your weekend really come alive. This is your kind of thing. Are you familiar with the sport of kings known as cheese racing?
Cheese racing.
Yeah.
No.
We probably should have to cover this during sports out trial, but I think we'll do it now.
I don't think I have heard.
Okay, here's with cheese racing. By the way, this is officiated over by an organization called CRASS, CRASS. I forget what that's, Cheese Racing Association of America, something, something. Well, anyway, what happens is, if you catch on fire and die while doing this, WTIC and Infinity Broadcasting take no responsibility whatsoever. So do this at your own risk, all right? Apparently,
I'm not sure that'll cover us legally, but if you say so.
Close enough. If you throw a slice of processed cheese without removing the plastic wrapping onto a barbecue, a lit, fully burning barbecue, it turns out what happens is that the plastic doesn't melt right away. The pioneers and inventors of cheese racing discovered in 1997 that the plastic pouch does not melt, even when the cheese inside eventually boils. Even more incredibly, as the cheese melts and the strange chemicals found in processed cheese turn to gas, the plastic pouch inflates until eventually all four corners lift off the barbecue and the pouch is fully inflated. So they write, it's on their website anyway. Now, under this pressure, you might think that the pouch would eventually burst, but no, most of the time the seal remains intact.
This is fascinating.
Why processed cheese manufacturers choose to use such industrial-strength, heat-proof plastic to encase their products is something of a mystery. It's like, NASA should be using this.
Because they knew that sooner or later some complete nutcase would try this kind of thing.
So in cheese racing, each player throws a slice of cheese onto the barbecue. The player whose cheese fully inflates first wins. And then the Cheese Racing Association, CRASS, has special rules. So do you have a rule question?
No, I mean, this makes no sense. It's totally the luck of the draw. I mean, you toss this thing on there.
Oh, like Foxwoods is all about skill? Well, see, sometimes you have to know exactly where to throw your slice of cheese.
Oh, no, you don't know where to have to throw your slice of cheese.
By the way,
here's
an interesting thing. Note that springing a leak does not automatically mean you have lost. It is possible for the hole to become sealed with melted cheese and the bag to fully inflate anyway, such as the excitement of cheese racing.
You know what's going to happen?
It's not over.
Somebody is going to try this and the thing is going to blow up and there's going to be cheese all over it. Dripping hot cheese all over everybody.
And you're going to have third-degree burns. That's what I'm saying. You could drastically injure yourself and die while doing this. I'm just mentioning that this is out there. I'm not saying that you should do it. And if you do it and something bad happens to you, I don't want to hear about it. I'm not interested. In fact, I never heard of you.
But let's keep in mind, we are professional fools.
Right. U.S. Olympic athletes have been contacted by the anti-doping agency that their urine is now considered a lethal weapon. It's time for Sport à Trois, our French sports discussion segment. Monsieur Ambrosio,
I hope they wash their hands with it.
I hope they don't do a Jorge Posada with it. It's time for Sports. I already said that. With myself,
Louis Gascon de la Mer.
Don't run anymore. All right, we have time to ask
Mr. Chamber.
Dear Mr. There's nothing going on in sports, no matter how much we try to
pretend. We tried. We did break pretty good news.
Average minute. Dear Mr. Chamber, is there any nutritional difference between green peppers, red peppers, and any other color of peppers that you
just
might
green
buy?
And red are the only difference, and the difference has to do with, and it's unfortunate we have to bring this topic up at the dinner hour, but green peppers cause one's system to be more regular, if you know what I mean. In fact, in some countries, Bolivia, Bulgaria, actually it seems funny, countries that begin with B, Bolivia, Bulgaria, Brazil, the red peppers.
How about Borneo?
No, Borneo's not included. We can't get enough data from there.
All right, well.
Those countries that I named before you so rudely interrupted me, the red peppers are used to kind of like as a...
Is it a stop and go kind of thing? Like
green means go. And red means stop. So if you want to stop problems with your system, in those countries, you'll ingest the red peppers. If you're,
you want to get things going again.
Yeah. If you're a little stocked up, like that one Mr. Ed episode, or the MASH episode, where Colonel Potter's horse was irregular, and they had to send the water through his system, then you just eat the green or go peppers.
Hopefully
we'll be back with
easy
you.
To remember, too.
Hope I make it by, back from Fenway.
Well, whatever you might have thought about Ronald Reagan's foreign policies, even if you were a detractor of Ronald Reagan and saw him as not helpful in the area of foreign policy, this administration makes him look like Dag freaking Hammarskjöld. I talked about this yesterday. I just have to say it one more time. The idea that an American presidential administration would be soliciting legal opinions on whether or not it could use torture and getting legal opinions saying, yeah, okay, go ahead and torture people. I can't even believe this is the country I was born and brought up in. It really doesn't resemble it at all. It is like a tin pot banana republic. I am astonished on a daily basis about how bad these people are. And really, I mean, Ronald Reagan is like two tons as far as I'm concerned. Hey, rest in peace. Jeez. I guess we don't really have time to get into this. You know, you were just talking to Mike Kittner, and he was sort of trying to be edgy and funny with us, like us.
Yeah.
You know, and we never liked that, really.
Not particularly.
But it raises the question, how should you act when you're on the show? I mean, I think it is a hard tone to hit. Mildly afraid of us, I think, is a good policy. Although, I mean, there's some people who can pull it off. I mean, like, you know, obviously Alex Beam is the best. He comes out and he's rude and insulting.
Yeah, but he's rude and insulting to everybody.
Yeah, and he's very successful that way.
Yeah.
And Gorman kind of can. And there's a number of people who can come on the show and be rude and insulting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're really funny and edgy and cool, then it works.
Yeah, like the wrestler guy.
Or the wrestler guy. He's okay. And even, like, Emily Madsen came out, and she was kind of snapping at me a little bit, and she was kind of funny. I mean, but she was also frightened, too, and that's an important part of it. So, I mean, there are some people who can do that. But in general, our suggestion to you, if you're going to be in the guest on the show, don't try to, like, be funny and say, oh, well, you know, this is a cultural thing, and Bruce, you know, you got a lot of culture in Collins, doesn't you? Because we don't like that.
No,
we don't want to hear that.
Particularly. Yeah, the take a hike sign comes up, you know, like, fairly soon thereafter.
So, in general, oh, then I have this one other thing to say.
Well, I'll say it quickly.
Oh, we're out of time.
Because we're out of time.
Never mind that. Our producer's Bobby Sherwood. That's what I wanted to say.
Yep.